You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. On paper, this is a game, I'll just flat out say it, this is a game the Order should win. It's not a must win, not a need win, this is a game they should win, and I actually fully expect the Orders to win. Last year, against non-playoff teams in the Pacific Division, or I guess the North, they were 21-8. Against the teams that didn't make the playoffs. And I think Edmonton has learned that, hey, when you play certain teams, we should beat them. This is a game they should do that. Exactly.
No denying that. I mean, good teams beat lesser teams or teams perceived to be lesser than them consistently. And that's something that the Oilers a few years ago struggled with. Last year, like you mentioned, very good with it. This year, so far, they've gotten the job done. I mean, Tuesday night was a little bit dicey at times, but you need these points. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no excuses. If you end up losing positioning when it comes to postseason time and it winds up being an unfavorable matchup or something like that, these are the games, if you lose them, Gregs, that you point to and go, we needed those points. So the directive here, and I'm sure it is pedal to the metal, jump on them early, get the lead, don't look back. If you even let them hang around, I know the Oilers probably should be able to win it still, but don't even flirt with it. Just dictate the game. Go, go, go. Don't do what St. Louis did the other night and go back and forth with the Coyotes before they buckled it down. Just get these points, move on, focus on tomorrow night's game when you take care of this one.
Dave Tippett, as we discussed at the start of the season, gets on the road. And although this was not a team I necessarily thought it would, that you had to worry about, but he'll split up Draisaitl and McDavid. And when you look at it, kind of makes sense because he's like, hey, we can try to get two lines going. Our third line's going well, but he would like to get some more production from the second line. So he puts Hyman up with McDavid and Draisaitl and puts Yamamoto and Nugent Hopkins on the wings with Draisaitl. McDavid's with Puljujärvi and Hyman, excuse me. So... what do you think of that change? And like long term, I think by the end of the year, I just don't think Draisaitl will play. When him and McDavid are on separate lines, I think come playoff time, he won't be with Nugent Hopkins and Yamamoto.
Likely, a lot of hockey left to go still. But I mean, it's good that we're seeing this too, where he's willing to split them up, even though they had success, and he's had a penchant for sticking with what's worked, but you don't get the favorable change. You're on the road. You probably want to jumpstart Yamamoto a little bit here. This is a different look on the second line as soon as you have Draisaitl centering it and you slide Nugent Hopkins over to the wing. And then an opportunity to clean up some of the deficiencies in the game right now. We know the sloppy play defensively has been an issue. So there's all kinds of things you could do in this game. And then moving the lines around, shuffling them around, you know, I think it quiet gets that crowd out there that says that Hyman needs to play with McDavid, kind of quiets them down a little bit. So it kind of checks a bunch of boxes. I didn't think we were going to see it tonight, Gregs. I thought he would stick with what was working. But here we go. He's going to do it. And then maybe this is kind of a sneak peek into what the lineup might look like tomorrow night against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, possibly. And, hey, I say this. The Vegas Golden Knights offense, after their first line, there's nothing that scares you there at all. I was breaking down their career goals and just their production recently from their second, third, and fourth lines. And Edmonton, that's another – Edmonton has a massive advantage with the injuries to Pacioretty, Stone, and Tuck. Now, I know Vegas has good defense, and they got a good goaltender. Yeah. So, obviously, I would rank them higher than Arizona for sure. But Edmonton's the favorite in both those games. I don't even care if they're playing back-to-back. It doesn't mean they'll win both, but they should be favored just simply due to the lack of health right now on the Vegas team. Now, Arizona will go with a rookie goaltender. He's made one start against the Buffalo Sabres and looked pretty good. Vejmelka stopping 31 of the 32 shots. They ended up losing in a shootout, so pretty much did everything he could, and they're going to need him to stand on his head because, like, I'm guessing the Chychrun, like, Draisaitl's line is the one line tonight that should really dominate because Chychrun and Stroman are probably going to be the matchup that goes against McDavid's line. Mm-hmm. And the second and third pairings in Arizona right now, are not ideal if you're a Coyotes fan. Gostisbehere and Soderstrom have been getting crushed. Now, Lyubushkin and Timmins actually have been pretty good, but I looked at their quality of competition, and it hasn't been that strong through it. So the Oilers' second and third line, you got to take advantage of those bottom two pairings tonight.
Yes, that's another thing we're going to be looking to see, how they handle this quote-unquote test, if you will. Interesting with Vejmelka too, Gregor, because you know he had a good showing in that game against Buffalo. That's nice, but it's not like he lit up the league in the Czech Extraliga last year either. 14-21-0, goals against average 279, 9-11 save percentage. He did have three shutouts in those 35 games. I was like, when I watched the Coyotes the other night, I'm like, who's Vejmelka? And you know, looked into it a little bit. He's been around a bit. He's 25 years old. So maybe here's a guy that you could get on him quickly, shell him a little bit, give him a rude awakening and welcoming to the National Hockey League. I know the Oilers and the Buffalo Sabres, in terms of quality of competition, a bit different indeed. So get after this guy. Rattle him. He's a southpaw as well. Catches with his right. Use that to your advantage. And so even the third line for the Oilers, Gregor, I want to see them attack, because they've been pretty darn good. They were excellent the other night against the Anaheim Ducks. Just attack. Attack and wave after wave after wave. No mercy. I would really, really like to see that. I think that would be a sign of maturation from the Oilers.
Tom Gazzola joins us, and I'm the Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Chris Russell is not playing again tonight. And he did miss some preseason, right? Came in late, has the neck injury. And he played one game, played actually pretty well. If you look at all his numbers, he was great, him and Bouchard. But he hasn't played since. He has been skating, but I sense they're kind of protecting that and are going to wait. Otherwise, he'd be back in the lineup. So, you know, he's not 100%. That's why he's not going tonight. Dave Tippett, very upfront about his plan with Koskinen. And I understand why he didn't go away from Koskinen tonight. They told him 4 days ago, this is where you're starting. So if Mike Smith gets hurt, you don't say, well, suddenly now you're not starting when you haven't started a game all year. It just wouldn't look good from a human element to have a third stringer guy start ahead of you. So I understand it. And I'm curious, you know, Tippett said, hey, well, I'll depend how tonight goes. If he has an easy night in goal, not a lot of shots, I think they'll go back to him tomorrow.
I get that. I had the inclination that Skinner would be a good fit for tonight, and then you go to Koskinen, who's your number two, like you said. I understand the optics of it, but I think this circumstance, you could say to Mikko Koskinen, it's like, hey, you're our second guy. We need you for the big game against the Golden Knights. We're going to give Skinner this game. But at the same time, I understand the rationale going to Koskinen tonight. If the Oilers can clean up things defensively, if they don't cough up 40-plus shots on top of grade-A chances to the Coyotes, and they do just kind of walk away with a good, clean victory here and an efficient victory, then okay. Then if Mikko Koskinen has the energy, he's good to go. They do the quick 45-minute flight over to Vegas. He gets in a good night's rest, doesn't go out, doesn't hit the slots or the tables, and he can do that over the weekend. I get that too. If he says he's ready to rock, then he's ready to rock. These guys, they prepare them well enough that, you know, back-to-backs, you hear them talk about it. It's not as big of an issue, but it's something that we get to talk about, and we make a big deal of it, but I think for fun and because I think it's legitimate still.
Yeah, well, you look at Koskinen last year, he under Dave Tippett, he's only went back-to-back once. And when he did it, he lost the first game, and then he bounced back and stopped 38 of 40 the next night. So early in the season, when it would be his first two starts, I don't really buy the fatigue factor.
Okay.
Now, he got fatigued when he played over an extended 2 months all those games back-to-back, or when he started 10 straight with no preseason. That's where I see it. But this year, with him getting preseason, lots of extra practice time, if Koskinen plays well tonight and isn't peppered, Edmonton wants to get out to a big start. Like, that Vegas game is big. And I would actually, if it's me, I'm the coach, and he's fine, because he'd only have to play one more game in the next 8 days after Friday night, right? Like, there's
True.
Just not a lot of time. There's lots of time off in between there, because Smith isn't going to be ready for Wednesday, so we know that Koskinen will play the Wednesday. I could easily see him playing all three of those games, and I wouldn't think of it as a big negative. And, you know, sure, I guess there's a chance he could get lit up tomorrow night, but I'm not sure I would put that on fatigue.
Yeah. One other thing about tomorrow night's game, not to look past tonight, but Alec Martinez, Greg's, add him to the list of guys on the injury ward in Vegas as well. That could be a big loss for their back end.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, look at Vegas's up front, man. Are you kidding me? Their offense right now, it's a pop gun offense after their top line without Stone and Tuck and Pat. Like, seriously, Tommy.
It's true.
Their second to fourth lines have a combined 229 goals, and Dadonov has 104 of them. So let's just say their 5th to 12 skaters have 125 career goals. The Oilers' second, third, and fourth lines. Now, if you move Draisaitl down with and Hyman goes up, well, then it's even way more. But I did these numbers with Draisaitl, McDavid, and Puljujärvi together. And the second to fourth lines had 724 goals. Draisaitl has 114 more than Hyman. So then it would go up to even more, right? To 838. Yeah. Like, it's a massive advantage in just pure offensive talent. And I know that, you know, Kyle Turris's best goal scoring days are behind him, right? But, yep. You know, Derek Ryan's still a productive player. Cassian's productive. Fogle's productive. You know, obviously Hyman is productive. And Vegas just doesn't have a lot of depth right now with all their injuries.
Yeah, they're leaning on Carlson, Marchessault, and Smith quite a bit. Nolan Patrick just trying to figure out his game at the NHL level. Peyton Krebs just making his entry into the NHL. And you're right, there's Dadonov there. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity in these back-to-backs in the desert. There really is. And set the tone with this game. Go into tomorrow with confidence, and it could be a nice weekend if you're in oil country. Let's see them get past this first test. I don't know why, Gregor, but I'm still always hesitant and leery to say, yep, I have full faith in this team to do what's expected. I don't know why. Maybe it's the covering the decade of darkness plus. But I look at these games and I go, you never know. Or there's that, yeah, but, right? And I don't know if that's a good instinct or a bad instinct or just me being pessimistic, but I still have those doubts, especially with the Coyotes, where historically over the last decade and a half, the Coyotes have had their number regardless of who is on the team, who is coaching. I think the Oilers have given up 5 games to the Coyotes in their last 10 as well. I know it's a new season. I know they haven't seen each other since February of 2020, but it's just always in the back of my mind, something saying, you never know, Tom.
Tom Gazzola joins tonight at Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Tommy, it's the rivalry that no one knew we even wanted or needed, but Carolina and Montreal. And it's just like the troll job as the Carolina Hurricanes. They offer, of course, the big ticket to Kotkaniemi with a $20 signing bonus, which of course is Aho's number. And now you see the Kotkaniemi skating on their top line tonight. He doesn't have a point yet in 3 games. They're going into Montreal. Carolina's 2-0. Montreal's 0-4. They've only scored 3 goals. Like, it just sense that this organization just wants to hammer on the Habs tonight. Imagine if they win and Kotkaniemi gets a point or two.
Just salt in the wound for a Habs team that's reeling. I'm not going to lie. From a distance, it's fun to watch. It's kind of funny to watch the troll job that the Carolina Hurricanes have done on the Montreal Canadiens. I know they're kind of beating a dead horse to a certain extent, but man, like, here's an opportunity. If you think about it from a Habs point of view, you're in the dumps. Things are going poorly. You can't score goals. Now you got this guy who basically left you. The team that signed him and offer sheeted him is making fun of you. What if you use that to motivate, if you're Dominic Ducharme and you motivate your group to get this win, and what if you get that win, maybe a little bit of positivity, and that gets things going in the other direction? Not that I think it's going to be a particularly good season for the Habs, but maybe the Habs are going to use this as a motivator to get back at Carolina, to get back at Kotkaniemi. Otherwise, if the Canes just run them over, it's just more gloom and doom for Montreal and salt in the wound from already a reeling Habs fan base and team right now.
Yeah, they're not there's not very good, man.
No.
Right now. They don't have much offense.
Awful.
They're completely awful. Before we let you go quickly, the Ben Simmons saga. I know that their Sham Sharney was trying to say that it was a practice jersey stuffed in his pocket. I'm like, man, I've never seen a square looking practice jersey, so I'm not sure I really buy that one. But now you see more of Simmons that now he's not ready to play, so he's not playing in their home opener now on Friday. He's going to meet with the organization. Like this distraction. Just I wonder at what point do they just say, okay, go home?
Yeah, I mean. Listening to you and Strutty talking about it and how Simmons, Strutty thought, orchestrated it with his agent. And then, like, this is just ridiculous. And all of it is devolving into something dumber and dumber. And this back and forth. Was it a cell phone? Was it a practice jersey? Why was he refusing to wear the practice jersey? Yeah, I think it's to the point it's soured where you just say, all right, man, just stay away. We'll figure something out. Stay in shape for whatever team you're going to. But enough already. And I don't know, even if they did that, Greg's like, I don't know if Simmons wouldn't go out of his way to make some noise somehow, talk to the media, give interviews and rattle cages as he awaits this move or this process. Like, it's full of drama. The NBA is highly entertaining this way as well. But man, like, his teammates or soon to be former teammates are probably looking at him and are just like, would you just stop it? And until he gets his way, I think we're going to see more of this crybaby mentality, if you will.
Yeah, it's a little weird for sure, self-centered.
Yeah.
Tommy, we'll be tuning into the pregame show, extended version, you and the con man coming up. But Kelly Buckberger will be joining you guys. Is Bucky going to be blocking shots in the interview?
No. Believe it or not, Greggs, he says, living in Laval, Montreal area, that he goes to bed early now. I don't believe that guy for a second.
What's he living in Laval for?
He's the assistant coach with the Rocket.
Oh, he moved there. Jeez, I didn't even know that. Oh, well, there you go. All right. Oh, there you go. From the West Coast to, that's pretty far move across the country. Well, good for him. Hey, at the rate they're going, Laval's coaching staff might get promoted to the Habs soon. We'll have to see what happens. Tommy, have a good one.
See you, Gregs.